Radio Prague News.
President Václav Klaus has met with the leaders of all major political parties at Prague Castle in an attempt to find a way out of the political stalemate. Civic Democratic Party leader Mirek Topolánek agrees that a Social Democrat could indeed be elected to the lower house on Monday, and the Czech crown has hit an all-time high. President Václav Klaus has met with the leaders of all five major political parties, the Civic Democrats, the Social Democrats, the Christian Democrats, the Communists, and the Greens, in an attempt to find a solution to the current political deadlock. Mr. Klaus says that his main agenda during Wednesday morning's talks at Prague Castle was to convince the leaders of the importance of electing a chairperson to the lower house on Monday. There have already been 6 failed attempts since the elections in early June. Mr. Klaus says that it is important for the leaders to consider the post-election negotiations in 2 steps, the first being unblocking the lower house, and the second being negotiations over a new government. The 5 leaders are scheduled to meet with President Klaus again on Friday. Civic Democratic leader Mirek Topolánek says that during Wednesday morning's talks, President Václav Klaus proposed that MPs elect as a temporary chair of the lower house a member of the Social Democratic Party. Mr. Topolánek says that he supports the candidacy of a Social Democrat for the post, so long as it is a temporary solution and the mandate would be for a limited time period, as the president suggested. The Christian Democratic leader Miroslav Kalousek also agrees with this proposition. The Social Democratic Party will decide on its candidate for the post of chairperson of the lower house by Friday. It is expected that there will only be 1 nominee for the post, in accordance with what leading politicians have discussed with President Klaus. And the Czech crown has reached an all-time high on Wednesday morning, hitting 28.10 crowns per euro. Another record was also set against the U.S. dollar, with the crown trading at 21.78 crowns per 1 U.S. dollar. The Czech crown set this previous record highs in May of this year. Analysts say that August's record highs are due to confidence resulting from the Czech economic growth, the popularity of Czech products on the EU market, and a number of speculative investments. The powerful Czech crown means cheaper vacations abroad, as well as lower prices for gas on the domestic market. And finally, a look at the weather. Daytime highs for the next few days will hit 21 degrees Celsius, with rain showers in most parts of the country. I'm Linda Mastelis, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, broadcasting in English worldwide. I'm Jan Wellinger. Just ahead. Despite the ongoing political stalemate, the Czech economy is booming. We'll tell you why. 25 years ago, IBM launched the world's first personal computer. But what did that mean for Czechs in communist Czechoslovakia at the time? And of late, Czechs have made a splash in the English Channel. Find out more in the program today. Now, figures just released by the Czech Statistical Office indicate that in spite of the country's drawn-out political crisis and the growing price of oil on world markets, the country's economy is booming. The Czech Republic is currently the world's 6th biggest exporter, with the highest export figures in Europe. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
The Czech economy is running at full steam. The country exports a full 60% of its overall production. The job market is growing and the crown is strengthening. Banks are now trading the euro for 28 crowns, and by the end of next year, it is expected to sell for under 27. Czech exports to the European Union are on par with those of Poland, whose economy is 2.5 times bigger. The boom in exports is fueled primarily by the automotive industry, but other traditional exporters are also doing exceptionally well. Economists attribute this to the country's location in the very center of Europe, its proximity to the rich German market, its cheap labor and investment incentives. Markéta Šichtařová says it gives the country an edge over bigger post-communist rivals close by.
I believe that the location of the country it's a major advantage, because when foreign companies are deciding where to locate their new companies, they of course are affected by the location of the new country. This is a major advantage in comparison with, for example, Slovakia. Another big advantage is the fact that infrastructure in the Czech Republic is better than in Poland or Hungary or Slovakia.
There is one fly in the ointment, though, the growing price of oil on world markets. A growing economy requires more oil, and rising oil prices could, in time, impede growth. Economist Markéta Šichtářová again.
Increasing oil prices might potentially slow down the economic growth, because higher oil prices might increase cost of companies. A higher cost of companies might decrease their profit, and it might lead to increasing unemployment and slow economic growth. However, this is just a theory. In practice, we can see that the situation is already quite different from the situation 20 or 30 years ago when there was an oil crisis. The structure of the economy has been changing, and the economy is more led by services than some heavy industry, which is more dependent on oil prices. And that means that even higher oil prices, reaching, let's say, $100 per $1, wouldn't significantly harm the economy.
Another potential danger to the country's economy is the drawn-out political crisis. 2 months after the elections, politicians have been unable to agree on a new government. So far, the crown has remained steady. But for how long can this last? Markéta Šichtářová believes that with its present momentum, the economy stands a good chance of weathering the storm.
Theoretically, if this crisis lasts for months, it might cause some outflow of foreign investments. And of course, this outflow of these investments might endanger not only Czech foreign trade, but also unemployment rate or economic growth. But I believe this crisis is going to be solved within 1 or 2 months. And in such a case, probably the economic growth won't be endangered.
That was economist Markéta Šichtářová talking to Daniela Lazarová about the Czech economy currently going strong. For many of us, life without a personal computer would be simply unthinkable. Would you believe that the first IBM PC was launched on the world market just 25 years ago this Saturday? In the Czech Republic, an estimated 2.5 million of the country's 10 million inhabitants now own a PC, and some 400,000 personal computers are sold every year. But what was the situation like here a quarter of a century ago, when the PC was a luxury and the communists were in power? Dita Asiedu spoke to Petr Kopsky. He's from the IT magazine Inside.
In countries of the former Soviet bloc, computers, including personal computers, were for institutions and for businesses, not for individual people. Partly because of price, partly because PC was potential machine of change, of revolution. If you can freely work with information, you can do almost everything with people's minds. And our leaders knew perfectly about this, and they maintained control on such things. Even a copy machine was under strong control. And besides, it has to be imported to socialist countries from the West, which...
What did it take for people here to get their hands on them?
Let me say something personal. I was a university student in 1981, student of computer sciences, and I have never heard about the launch of IBM PC, not before 1986, I think. I have never seen such a machine before 1986. Almost no one was able and allowed to have and use this machine. It was the big difference between East and West, that in the West it was something for individual people.
As you said, it was 1981 and the communists were still in power. Was there a Soviet counteroffer to consumers?
In the end of 80s, some PC-compatible computers were produced in the Eastern Bloc, especially in Bulgaria. It was the main producer of personal computers for the socialist countries. There were also some PCs produced in Czechoslovakia as well.
Were they different from the PCs, the IBM PCs, or the PCs from the West?
No, basically they were the same. The only difference was in the quality of parts where computers made from. These were copies of Western parts, of Western chips and so on, and they were not as reliable as originals. But this was the only difference. We used the same software. Illegal, of course.
It seems like Czechs are actually quite computer literate. And also you have lots of IT specialists coming from this place.
It sounds great. I'm not sure whether it is true. But I think clever people in the communist regime used to study technical sciences rather than anything else, because it was the only the field you can do something freely. So in my generation, it may be part of the explanation.
How affordable or accessible are PCs now to or for the ordinary, average Czech citizen compared to citizens of other Visegrad countries and then citizens of Western EU states?
Well, you can buy a decent computer for an average month's salary here. It's still more expensive than in the Western Europe or in the US, but it's not that bad, I think. Other question is what to do with that, because it's still an expensive thing just to play with that. When someone buys a computer here, it's mainly for making money or doing some work on that. It's perhaps the main difference now between the usage model in the East and in the West.
And that was Petr Kopsky of the IT magazine Inside talking to Dita Asiedu about some of the fascinating changes in meaning that the PC has gone through since 1981. Well, last weekend was a momentous one for Czech long-distance swimming. Iveta Hlaváčová set a new women's world record for swimming the English Channel, while David Čech became the first Czech to swim the Channel in both directions. While Čech has been enjoying his success, Hlaváčová has surprised many by saying she wants to brave the Channel again in just a few weeks' time. Ian Willoughby reports.
Iveta Hlaváčová entered the record books on Sunday afternoon when, swimming from England to France, she set a new women's world record of 7 hours, 25 minutes and 15 seconds. The 31-year-old from the Moravian town of Boskovice beat the previous women's record, which had stood for 28 years, by a quarter of an hour. But that achievement wasn't enough for the 182-centimetre tall blonde, who immediately set off in the other, harder direction, in an attempt to set another world record for swimming both ways. She battled hard but eventually succumbed to exhaustion after spending 14 hours in the water and swimming 60 kilometres. Speaking in Prague on her return, Iveta Hlaváčová described her experience as hell, but said after a couple of nights' sleep, she was once more full of energy. And she surprised many by saying she wants to return to the Channel again at the start of September, in order to have another go at the absolute Dover to Calais record of 7 hours and 3 minutes. It was set by a German man called Christoph Vondrascht last year. But Hlaváčová wasn't the only Czech setting records at the weekend. 20-year-old David Čech became the first Czech ever to swim the English Channel both ways, a feat he completed 2 years to the day after his first one-way channel crossing. In 2004, at 18 and with just 4 years' experience as a swimmer, he became the first Czech to swim the channel in less than 10 hours. This time out, Čech spent almost 20 hours in the water, swimming an incredible 80 kilometres. He studies construction at university in Brno and said his biggest problem was raising funds. In order to save some money, Davidcek spent the 3 weeks before the swim sleeping in a tent, waiting for the right conditions. The first Czech to swim La Manche was the late František Venslovský, who swam from France to England in 1971. His time was 15 hours 26 minutes. In 1975, Venslovský went the other way in a time of 13 hours 42 minutes. Since then, 11 other Czechs have completed this most grueling of sporting achievements.
And thanks to Ian Willoughby for that story. And to be honest, I can't imagine spending quite that much time in the water. Just a reminder, you are of course listening to... Oh, come on, you know, it's Radio Prague. Where we're not done yet for this day, we have our main feature coming up now, which is Spotlight, in which I visit one of the most beautiful areas in the Czech Republic, and the bonus is that it's right near Prague. Anyone longing to escape the Czech capital in the stifling summer months would do well to visit the nearby Kokořín region, only around 40 kilometers or so northeast of Prague. Kokořín, with deep forests, valleys, as well as characteristic sandstone cliffs and unique architecture, is truly remarkable. You'll feel as if you've traveled more than one short train or bus ride away. It's an escape back to nature, with numerous spots for swimming and excellent trails for hiking, all in quiet and peace. And then there is the history. Kokořín boasts numerous castles, one of the most famous, a stunning, originally Gothic site that shares the region's name. Not long ago, when visiting the area, I met with Maria Smutná, the castle caretaker there, who told me a bit about the site's rich past. It all began in 1320.
Kokořín hrad byl postaven na hranici dvou panství. Na jedné straně máme královský hrad Bezděz.
Kokořín castle was built on the edge of two royal domains, near both the castle Bezděz as well as the royal town of Mělník. And it served as a sentry outpost for soldiers responsible for guarding the area, collecting taxes for the king and similar such duties. When you travel through Kokořín Nature Reserve, you'll notice that the castle is not visible from most points, but hidden within the valley. That made it ideal for the point of view of defense. Regarding the structure itself, like most castles, it houses tall ramparts, deep ditches, and a tower. The living quarters were then found in the small and large palace.
Ta část obytná, to je tedy veliký a malý palác, takže je velice, velice dobře na perfektním místě postaven.
According to Mrs. Smutná, the site served as a classic castle for most of its early history, but fell into demise in the 16 and 1700s.
Dá se říci, že od toho roku 1320 až do toho 16. století...
Castles during the Renaissance gradually lost their original purpose. They had become vulnerable to cannon fire and firearms, and most were either turned into Renaissance-style palaces or they were destroyed. Kokořín was left to collapse. It even appeared on a list of cursed castles issued by Ferdinand III, which decreed that the castle's stone would be used in the construction of surrounding villages. But Kokořín was left undamaged. This region is full of sandstone cliffs. People extracted sandstone from nearby rather than stone from the castle. Even so, Kokořín still fell into ruin. Over time, it became a robber's hideaway, mostly home to men who had deserted from the military and now made a living by waylaying traveling merchants.
Okrádali kupce, kteří jezdili tímto krajem.
In fact, the revival of Kokořín Castle came at a much later date.
V podstatě až kolem roku 1895 koupil panství od manželů Jírových pan Špaček.
In 1895, the castle was bought by Václav Špaček, a businessman from Horní Počernice, who happened to own stud farms and stables and rented his horses to the postal service. His horses helped the post deliver the mail all around Prague, and that's how he made his fortune. he bought the castle and began to invest a lot of capital in this region. Not far away, he built a famous swimming pool, tennis courts, a luxury hotel. Meanwhile, Kokorin was redesigned in the neo-romantic style to be preserved as a cultural monument. Mr. Spacek expected it to draw many out-of-town visitors and that clients would come to find relaxation and rest. He also expected it would open their wallets.
Odpočinkem dole se ubytují, pobaví a ponechají finanční obnos.
Maria Smutná says that Kokořín is famous for being one of the few neo-romantic castles in Bohemia, and you won't find anything similar quite like it. The atmosphere of the Romantic period is tangible. The area is pristine and there's nothing to ruin the impression. No businesses along the road to the castle like at many other well-known sites. Kokořín's caretaker, once again.
Tady je účel takový, aby se v těch lidech probudil ten romantik.
One person might pretend the romantic poet Karl Hynek Mácha, another that he's a knight on an ancient path. Someone else just wants to escape the big city. Around Kokořín there is a forest. As Goethe himself observed, the castle is a vessel on a sea of forest. It's ideal for looking out and observing birds of prey.
Kokořín hrad je plující koráb v moře lesů.
When you visit, expect a bit of a climb onto the promontory, including wooden steps among the trees, until Kokořín's majestic tower becomes visible. Then it's over a wooden bridge over a deep ditch or moat, and you're there. Many have remarked that its placement within the landscape is what makes it so exceptional, rather than its interior, which boasts only a few rooms, though beautiful, but few are accessible to the public. Many I spoke with agreed.
We are French tourists, so it's the first time here, of course. It's nice to walk all around because it's all surrounded with woods and very nice view. It was nice.
No, my už jsme tady víckrát a furt nás sem táhne, protože tady to údolí je strašně krásný.
We've been here before and something keeps bringing us back. The valley is gorgeous and the castle is fantastic. After the castle, we're going to hike on some of the trails to the cliffs known as the Lids, where there's also a rock formation that looks like a giant frog. After that, we'll head to another nearby castle known as Hoska, where legend has it there was once an entrance to hell. It belched steam and smoke, and after a man came back grey with fear from searching the area, they opted to build a chapel on the site, so that devils could come up no more.
Takže teď tam je kaple a čerti už k nám nemůžou.
Já jsem tady poprvé, takže já to tady obdivuju, ale uvidíme, jak bude dál.
It's my first time here. I admire the scenery. It's very beautiful. I'm curious about what comes next.
What comes next depends only on what you prefer. But if it's hiking or even mountain biking, you can't do wrong. Countless marked trails wind up sharply along the sandstone cliffs, and at the top of one climb you will indeed find the so-called lids, ancient stone slabs that rest on massive rock formations shaped by the centuries. The stone frog is there too, a petrified Jabba the Hutt. Then there are beautiful mazes in the rock and points where one has to literally squeeze through and risk losing one's jacket buttons, like Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit. From above, one can see the landscape in all of its splendor, including unique architecture, many vine-covered country homes with hedgerows and English gardens, contrasted by rugged cliffs, endless swampland full of reeds, and hilly dark black forest in the distance. Kokořín is a truly gorgeous and inspiring visit, and at the end of the day, the nearest town, aptly enough named Raj, meaning paradise, offers at least one excellent pub to visit, as well as a number of nearby bed and breakfasts. Kokořín is so close, yet a world apart. You've been listening to Spotlight, today about Kokorin, and other things in the show that we covered were the meaning of the PC in communist Czechoslovakia and the booming Czech economy. Those stories, if you'd like to return to them, are also up on the internet. You can go straight to our website. The address is www.radio.cz/en. For all of us here at Radio Prague, though, it's just about time to say goodbye. I'm Jan Fellinger. Until next time.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.